You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, we're mid-month now in November. Things are really hitting the fan. Inflation continues on unabated, despite the efforts of the Federal Reserve and the government to make you believe that it's abating. Well, here to discuss is Dee Carter, DeeCarterFinancial.com. Dee, great to have you back on the show. So what is the state of the world now?
Well, thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you having me back. The state of the world is exactly as you put it. We are looking into a situation where we really don't know what's going to take place over the next couple of months. I expect the government's going to try to push through a lot of things between now and January the 1st. Because the House still has the Democrats in charge right now, and they're going to try to push a bunch of things through. The Senate is still 50-50 right now, even though we'll see what happens here in a couple of weeks. But we're still sitting on my daddy would say, the horns of a dilemma. We've literally got some things out there that need to be taken care of, but I don't think it's going to be done. I don't think you're going to see a lot taken care of that is good for the American people. You might be some things taken care of that they want to push through their own private little projects. But I don't think we're going to see much that's going to abate the inflation, that's going to take away from any of the problems that we've got right now, Carrie. I think we're in for the long ride and a tough ride over the next. I think it's going to last longer than past January the 1st. Even after the Republicans take charge of the House, I think we're going to see the stock market floundering around. It's down today. It started out at 350 points down this morning. Oil is at $83 a barrel. We can talk about that if you like. That's
yeah, an interesting sure.
subject. But things are kind of at. I'm not putting my clients in the stock market right now, put it that way. And we're not investing in refineries either because they're not building any. Well, that's not true. They did build one little refinery here in Texas that opened up in January, but it only has a capacity of about 45,000 barrels a day. So, I mean, the last major refinery built was back in 1977 in Garyville, Louisiana. It has a 578,000 barrel a day capacity. So we're there's our problem. As one of my friends said, the elephant in the room is more like the donkey in the room because they're keeping us from doing the things that need to be done to make to give us back to where we used to be and being oil independent and that sort of thing.
Well, I think it's more like the donkey in the White House and in the Congress, right?
It has a lot to do with it. They have their own thing going. The problem we've got right now with investors, and I that's what I deal with on a daily basis. No one wants to invest in they're backing off on a lot of the investing in energy, because especially in the oil companies, because they're throwing the renewable energy at us. Nobody wants to invest in something that may not be around 10 or 15 years from now. So people are backing off. I mean, that's the reason you're not seeing any refineries built. Nobody wants to invest in that project. It's a 10-year project. I mean, it takes that long to build one to get it online and doing the right thing. So it's hard to get that done. So the donkey in the room is keeping us doing it by throwing so many regulations at us. Here the president's trying to get the oil companies to produce more oil and give them more production, but at the same time they're throwing the regulations at them and trying to cut them off at the waist. I'm not sure I understand the logic in what is going on there. On one side you say we want more oil, on the other side we say now we really don't want you to do much because we want to get away from fossil fuels.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know, as a practical matter, there is no possible way they're going to eliminate the need for so-called fossil fuels in the next 10 years. I mean, it's impossible.
Well, let me give you a good example, Carrie. Wind thing is a big deal right now. We have a lot of wind farms all over Texas because we have a lot of wind over, not hot air, but wind. We have a lot of wind in Texas.
Well, that's in Washington, the hot air.
That's in Washington, right. But if one of those big things goes down, or if the engine goes down, that gets it started, they have to bring in trucks upon trucks and a lot of people. And guess what? All those trucks are driven by diesel. They freeze up like they did in Texas 2 years ago, they have to be de-iced. And guess what? De-icing is a fossil fuel product. You can't get away from it. And I think you and I have talked about this in years past since we've been going working together a little bit. You really can't get away from fossil fuels because there's over 6,000 things on the market. And if we started naming them that fossil fuels are involved with, it's amazing how many products that the American people consume daily and pick up daily and use daily that they don't even think about it are fossil fuel productions. So there's no way to get rid of it. Now, I think that what they're doing is trying to get into this electrical situation way too early. They're pushing it way too early. Now the car manufacturers are jumping on it. We got cars bursting into flames. We got problems with batteries. We got all kinds of difficulties going on, and yet they're continuing to push it. I think they're pushing it too fast. I do believe that probably not in my lifetime or your lifetime, but we will see cars running on electricity once they get to the car that'll go more than 300 miles without a recharge. But right now, it's not going to happen.
I am the proud owner of a Tesla Model S. And it will do over 300 on a charge.
Good for you.
And but I didn't get it to save the planet. I think that's absurd. hey, in many ways, it is a better product than any.
I agree.
Other
I agree. I just think it may be a little bit early to push that. Whenever you've got the need for fossil fuels out there, the diesel, for example, there's your main problem. They haven't been able to come up with a big trucks that can be pushed by diesel or by electricity as well as they can with diesel. And this country runs on diesel. Literally runs on diesel.
Of course. Well, supposedly Tesla is going to be delivering its Class 8 rigs to PepsiCo.
To PepsiCo and to UPS, isn't it, or somebody else like that? Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that if they can get the problem solved, and if we can get away from the lithium batteries, and I read in an article just a couple of weeks ago that they're getting away from that. So perhaps the problem might be solved. But it's too early to do away with the fossil fuel industry right now. That's causing inflation. That's causing the economy to go down. There's all kinds of problems. You need to do these things one baby step at a time.
Exactly. And really, the government should only provide incentives. They shouldn't be picking winners and losers. When we go back to our last energy transition, we switched from horse and buggies, horses, I would call it brown energy, and we switched to petroleum-based transportation economy, energy source. And there wasn't the U.S. government saying, all right, let's give up those horses. They're dirty. They leave waste all over. There's 5 feet of manure in downtown Manhattan, probably 15 feet in.
There's still 15 feet of manure in downtown Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly. In D.C., man, it's higher than ever.
It's higher than that.
But the government wasn't there pushing this energy transition. This was fully done by the market. And then the government said, oh, we need roads. Only the government can build them. And they jumped on board and, they saw the benefits from a national security standpoint to many other benefits that accrued. But they weren't out there, really pushing this transition. They watched the market do it. And you can't have energy transitions that are fully dictatorial, pushed by the U.S. government. It doesn't work.
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and resource capital funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I think that what we've got here is a group of people in Washington, D.C. that have not read their history books. You just gave a wonderful recap of what the history has actually done in the energy field, because it was market driven as opposed to government driven. And if they would allow the market to drive the situation, it would be better for all of us, not only those who are investing in the market, but those who are actually consuming the products. And I'm thinking that if they would just back off a little bit and let the markets do their work like they always have in the past, you'll find this transition to be much smoother and actually much easier down the road than it is to have it crammed down our throat. So I'm hoping that someone with a little bit more of a common sense will show up in the House of Representatives and we'll kind of slow this situation down to where we can get a grasp of it and our people can go back to investing in energy situations.
Yeah. So I take it you didn't run for Congress this year?
I'm running from Congress is what I'm doing, Kerry. No, I didn't run for Congress. I'm a little bit long in the tooth for that. Yeah. I was asked to run for Congress about 20 years ago, and the smartest decision ever made was not to run for Congress. But it's a difficult job, and I admire the people that get in there and do their job correctly. But they need to get some of these disincentives out of the way so that the market can do what it's supposed to do and what it's always done in the past and guide us into the 22nd century, if you will, down the road.
Hey, that's such a great point. I once made the huge mistake of running for town council. Ooh. And the happiest day of my life, one of them was when I got defeated. I just realized no matter what you do or say, half the people in the world are going to hate your guts. So now
this is true. This is very true.
Who needs it? So in the meantime, Dee, energy is the place to invest because nobody's investing there.
I still think so. We still have some small companies out there. If you can look on the stock market, the Dow, and you can see some things going on there that are doing quite well. They're still drilling. We're drilling in West Texas like crazy everywhere you look. There's very few rigs that have been shut down. They're still out there working and doing their thing. And as long as oil stays over $80 a barrel, you're going to see constant drilling. Our problem is the refineries have reached capacity. And as they've reached capacity, they can't put the petroleum out in gasoline or in other products that we need. So we're overproducing what the refineries can refine. And there you are. There's our problem right now.
All right. Well, I like your attitude. I do think energy is a place to be. Just look what's happening in Europe. If the markets are allowed to respond, then we will see an energy boom like we've never seen before, because energy is the building block of economic growth. If we want economic growth, if that's the goal, there is no other way but to increase your energy production. That's not to say there isn't a place. I don't want to call it green energy because I think that is a false misnomer.
I agree.
I think it's a misnomer, put it that way. I don't want to be redundant. But really, you put the money into cleaner forms of energy, better use of coal. For instance, most power plants in the Northeast, there is no coal-fired power plants. There are no coal-fired power plants. They've been decommissioned. And that's not to say that's the right way. There's scrubbers. There's all sorts of ways that they can be made more green. And, a large portion of our energy comes from coal. Maybe in theory, it is cheaper to build photocells, solar cells, fields of them. But there's logistical problems. And then when you add in the cost of batteries, because you can only produce the energy when the sun is out, and if it rains, you're kind of screwed. So you add in the batteries, it becomes a very costly endeavor. But prices, batteries coming down. Again, how are we bringing the prices down? We're using energy to convert to other forms of energy. It's not like we're just getting rid of petroleum and switching to solar cells. It just doesn't work that way.
It really doesn't work that way. And our biggest concern is we've seen five, since the last big refinery was built, we've seen five big refineries close. We've got some small ones, but the small ones are only like 1/10 or 1/15 of what they could be. And we're not producing enough petroleum products there to make it worth our while. So and people just don't want to invest in them right now. So they're backing off from the investment angle. They're investing in the drilling, but they're not investing in the refinery process. And we've got to get back to that before this economy will turn around and do what I think it should do. And hopefully that's we can see something happen in the new Congress next year that will turn some of that around.
Well, I'm not holding out, not holding my breath for that.
Oh, me either. Me either.
What else do you do here? Energy is obviously one sector. Where else can you put your money?
Surprisingly, we're seeing it in the market in consumer purchases, and consumer buying has not gone down. And we're actually seeing some of that increasing in several different places in that sector. So we're looking at that. We're still looking at pharmaceuticals as a good place. Anything that has to do with health issues, it has been steady. It's not always up, but it's pretty steady. So we're looking at that area as well. So there's some other sectors out there. My advice to the people that are buying in and buying and investing is to take a look at there's about 11 sectors in the market. You need to take a look at each one, decide which one fits your particular situation, because some people don't like to invest in one sector because they have a reason for it. But they can find a place, and we can find a place for our clients regardless. And inside those sectors, as you well know, there's hundreds of companies that are, some of them are very good, some of them aren't. You just have to be careful what you choose. So we just kind of walk through them and get what we can find is the best one for our client.
All right. Well, that's what we like to hear, Dee. The best place to find you is still dcarterfinancial.com.
That'll work every day, all day long. So we appreciate it.
All right. Well, there's a link in the show notes to this interview on Financial Survival Network. Click it, take you right to Dee's site. Always appreciate you coming on. If you've got a question for Dee, myself, on any matter, just shoot us an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Dee, we'll talk to you again real soon.
I appreciate the opportunity, my friend. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.